Fantastic. If you've got a Bible with you, we're going to open the Word this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Otherwise, you can follow on the screen. Welcome, everybody. It's so glad to be here today and bring my greetings. And Amy's not able to be here today, but we are on our sabbatical at the moment, taking some time around the South Island, visiting some Elam churches. We're not supposed to be preaching, but we couldn't pass up Blenheim Elam, the sunniest place in New Zealand. So here we are. And it's great to be here. Welcome to everybody online as well. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. How many people think if Moses hadn't have seen the bush or gone over to the bush, things would have been quite different for him? Verse 4, curiosity killed the cat. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God then goes on to explain that he's going to bring the people out of Egypt and into this promised land, that Moses would be the person that leads them. But Moses had doubts. Anybody have doubts about their ability? Moses had some doubts. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Let me pray this morning as we begin. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together around your word. Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Father, I pray you would speak to every heart. Lord, that every heart would understand the calling on their life. Every person today would know that you have a plan and a purpose for each life. Lord, may we listen to your voice as you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to ask two questions that I would love you to answer for yourself. And it may be a process, not of just today, but an ongoing process. I want to ask you, what's your dream? What's your dream? And how are you going to change the world? What's your dream? And how are you going to change the world? You know, I sat on the steps 20 years ago of Kaitaia Intermediate. We were youth pastors up in Kaitaia and an Anglican church up there. And I sat on these steps with these two boys, probably 11, 12 years old. I asked them this question, what's your dream? How are you going to change the world? The first one answered, well, I'm going to be an All Black. I'm like, that's awesome. What are you going to have to do in order to be an All Black? And he said, I'm going to have to train hard. I'm going to have to eat right. I'm going to have to get good sleep, get lots of exercise. I'm going to have to do all of these things. I said, that's awesome. You're going to be amazing. I asked the second boy, what's your dream? How are you going to change the world? And he said to me, I'm going to be on the dole like my mum and dad. Now, I appreciate the benefit for those that are sick, not able to work, but if that's the dream of an 11-year-old boy, that conversation impacted me like no other conversation that I've ever had before, except probably the one when I asked Amy to marry me. But in that moment, my heart went, no, that cannot be the goal and desire of an 11-year-old, that their dream is simply to do nothing. And from that day, it was like God gave me a mandate. God gave me a purpose, my own personal purpose, to live my life in order to see people get on my shoulders. If we're honest with ourselves, chances are most of us have probably found ourselves a little bit like Moses in this situation, asking the question, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Anyone ever felt like that in the role they find themselves in? Come on, just a couple of parents out here maybe wondering, how am I the one? How is it that I could be the one that would lead my family? Who am I to lead a company? Come on, those people in business that are stepping out and doing things that they've never done before. Who am I to write a song or record an album, write a book? Who am I to share my faith with my neighbor. See, I believe Moses was in the middle of an identity and a purpose journey. He didn't quite know why he was where he was, but he found himself in this place where he was having to discover who he was and what he was called to do. I don't believe we can ever fully understand God's will for our life until we know who we are and then what we're called to do. And Moses was going through an important journey, coming out of Egypt to then bring all the people back into the promised land. See, God took Moses out of Egypt. When God took Moses out of Egypt, that's like salvation. God brings us out of the world. He brings us out of what we know. He brings us out of the sin, out of the darkness, out of the bondage, out of the slavery. He brings us out and he gives us salvation. But then God took the world out of Moses. Come on, some time in the desert, some time in the wilderness. God took the world out of Moses. This is discipleship. This is the walking with other people. This is journeying to find freedom from our sin, the things that hold us back, the things that we want to slip back into. Come on, the Israelite people, they struggled with that, didn't they? They wanted to go back to what they knew, what was familiar. That is the wrestle, the struggle that we have when we are trying to do it on our own. But then God sends Moses back into Egypt. This is purpose. This is God going, this is Moses going back to take what he had, what he was carrying, to go and bring the people out of slavery. I'm here to remind somebody this morning that where you are, where God has placed you, is where he wants you to be. I think there's some people that are in their job and they're saying, this is not where God wants me to be, and I want to disagree with you. Because if he wants to move you, he'll move you. But maybe God has you where you are right now because that's where you're best served for his purpose, for his kingdom. I want to encourage somebody today who's thinking of quitting or who's waiting for that promotion or waiting for to be recognized, waiting for somebody to go, I see you, I notice you, just keep serving. Keep turning up early, leaving late. Keep turning up with an attitude that says, I'm here to serve, I'm here to help, I'm humbling myself so that I can add value to this company. Somebody needs to hear that today. God will promote you when it's time. When the time is right, he will raise you up if you humble yourself. God will do that. You got to find joy in what you do. Come on, don't work a job that you hate. Where's the fun in that? You might not enjoy aspects of the job, but if you turn up and say, I am here where God's called me to be, wow, what a difference you can make in your attitude and the way you respond when everybody else is backstabbing the boss, talking about how horrible they are. You're the one building the company. You're the one building the culture. Wherever we find ourselves, we can have an incredible influence. God takes us out of the world to save us. He then wants to take the world out of us through discipleship. Come on, this is our small groups. This is our life groups. This is our connect groups. This is when we get together and we do life together. I got a men's small group back at home. Man, these guys, we talk about everything. They keep me accountable. They're asking questions of me. You know, and the freedom that we have seen take place by doing life with others. The amount of times guys have said, guys, can I just share something? I'm struggling in this particular area. Bam, out it comes. The moment it's spoken out, it's like that problem almost disappears in that moment because there's an accountability. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective when we live in discipleship with each other. But the goal is not to stay out of the world. The world needs us to go back in. We need to be here. You know, let's not be too quick to retire to glory or request a transfer to eternity. Come on, we're here to serve a purpose for God. You know, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he didn't pray that they'd be removed from the world. He prayed that they would be kept in the Father's hands. That God would look over them, would watch over them. And I believe God has given you what you need in order to make a difference in the world. Often we think we've got to do something special. We've got to be a particular type of person. All you need is your story. All you need is what you carry in your hand. I want to ask another question. When did God give Moses his miracle rod? Some of you may know the story. You know, Moses, you know, Charlton Heston holds up the rod and the Red Sea parts. It strikes the rock and the water flows. When did God give him the miracle rod? Is Is there a moment in the scripture we read that? I looked through, I couldn't find it. I think Moses was probably walking along one day and went, that'd be a pretty good stick to lead some sheep with. Probably picked it up and gave a bit of a shave with a flint, and all of a sudden he's got a rod. It's something that he's carrying in his hand. My question today is, what is in your hand? What is it that you have today that God wants to use for his purposes? When did it become a miracle rod? When did the miracle start flowing? Right after Moses told God that he'd chosen the wrong person. Okay, so he's got this rod in his hand, right? He approaches the burning bush with the rod in his hand. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Of course, you would run from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And Moses said, you pick it up. No, he didn't say that, but that's what you'd say, right? Pick it up by the tail. How many people know that's not a good idea? Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. What you have in your hand right now may seem insignificant. But what you have in your hand and your heart is what you can use to impact the world. God has fashioned you within your mother's womb with a gift, with purpose. He's outlined the days of your life if you would live according to the purpose of God. But if that gift, if that purpose is not surrendered, if it's not laid down, then we will be doing it all in our strength. See, the miraculous was not in Moses. He didn't carry the miraculous power. The miraculous power came when he laid it down. And when we lay something down, when we lay down our gift, when we lay down our purpose, when we lay down our dreams and we say, God, this is for you and for your glory, then at some point God says, right, now pick it up. Now pick it up. See, if we're living our lives, if we're serving our own purpose and we're not serving God's purpose, it will only be as good as we are. And I'm not very good. Can I get an amen for that one? Come on. I've got nothing. There's nothing I carry that is miraculous. But everything I carry that I lay down and I surrender can be miraculous in God's hands. Would you lay down? Would you surrender to God? How do we know if it's a God dream, the thing that we're carrying within us? How do we know? I want you this morning to pass your dream, this thing in your heart that you want to do. Here's the filter I pass it through. Number one, does my purpose make God famous or me? Does my purpose make God famous or me? Does my purpose make other lives better or worse? In other words, am I gaining from what I do, or are other people benefiting because of it? And lastly, does my purpose build or tear down God's kingdom? When you think about it, if what we're doing and all the little things and all the big things, if it goes through that purpose, it's all about loving God and it's about loving people, building his kingdom. See, when Moses laid down his gift to serve the world with God's purposes, the anointing increased. Moses used the rod to guide sheep. God used the rod to part the Red Sea and lead a multitude of people. I think of my own journey and where I stand today and what I carried in my hand even as a young child and how God has taken that and used that as I've surrendered it. As a four-year-old, I used to preach to the kids in the sandpit at kindy. In fact, I've just been in contact with a teacher who I'm trying to get some of our books into their school, and she said, I remember you at kindy. And apparently she was the one that rung my mum and said, look, I don't want your boy to be disappointed, but you know, he seems to be talking about Jesus a lot in the sandpit, and we don't want him to be disappointed if no one responds to his sandpit crusade. So, but there I was as a four-year-old. I loved Jesus.
And so as best I could, I just wanted to talk about Jesus as a four-year-old. As a 10-year-old, I was blackmailed, yes, blackmailed into playing the clarinet. My mum said, here is the camp form that you want to go on, and here is the clarinet lessons form. Now, I just wanted to play football. That was it. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to play football, and she made me play clarinet. I'm so thankful for mothers that just know what's supposed to happen in your kids' lives. Come on. And mom made me learn this instrument. I'm so glad, because about a year later, I fell in love with music. Started playing the piano, wrote my first song. No one will ever hear it. It was a horrible song, but it started something. I had no idea that one day I'd record a kids' album as part of the Power Zone production that we did years and years ago. Had no idea, but it was in me. There was something in me that I was faithful with. As an 11-year-old, I made a children's book for a school project. In fact, I'm going to show a photo here. This is still my daughter's favorite book. She doesn't want me to read these books. She wants this book. As an 11-year-old, I made this book for my youngest brother. My brother Joel was 11 years younger than me. I made him a book tied together with wool. And you had to find Wesley on each page. I might have to do a redesign of that one. But that was the start of my journey to one day creating a book myself. It didn't make sense that a 14-year-old teenage boy would volunteer to do creche at church. But that's what I did. The pastor said, we need someone to do creche, to run the kids' ministry. So mum and I said, sure, let's do it. So for 3 years, right through till I was in Form 7, you know, for those who are old, you know, you understand what I mean, year 13. And that was my journey into leadership. I had no idea that years later I'd be leading in Botany a children's ministry of hundreds of children. And yet what was in my hand, I did something with it. Sometimes we can think that what we carry is insignificant. Well, it is. Until we lay it down, until we give it to God, until we surrender it to Him, and then God will do something incredible with it. When we learn, when we use what God has given us, as we learn to walk in our unique identity and purpose. See, as long as the rod was being used to fulfill God's purposes, the miraculous continued to flow through Moses. But there was a point when Moses, it shifted from being about God and it became about him. See, the first time the people were thirsty, God says, strike the rock and water will flow. He struck the rock obediently. The water flowed. The next place they got to, the people were thirsty again. They needed water again. And so God this time says, I want you to speak to the rock. Not strike it. I want you to speak to the rock. So Moses starts to puff out his chest and he says to the people, must we bring you water out of this rock? What do you mean by we, Moses? What did you do last time? Moses had it in his heart and his mind that he could bring water out of a rock. So instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock like he did last time. Now, God still did the miraculous. God still brought water out of the rock, even though Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do. But at that moment, Moses was making it about him. See, God got the glory when he struck the rock the first time. Water flowed. This time, Moses was saying, must we? Does that sound familiar with somebody else who wanted to stand and receive the praises of the angels? Lucifer, that was his desire to be like God, to receive the worship and the praise, the adoration of the people. But God, like lightning, Lucifer fell. Won't handle it. God shares his glory with no one. So when we live our lives trying to make it for us and about us, that will be the result. But if we could surrender our gift and lay it down for God's purposes, there is no limit to what God might do in our lives. Too many Christians have this belief if they can become like this person, this businessman, this sports star, this friend, or in my case, be like that pastor or that preacher or whatever it is, then God will use them. If I can just become like this person. Can I tell you, don't try to be anyone else except you. Become a better version of you, okay? I mean, there's some characteristics of us that could be improved, right? Some of us just a little bit mean, a little bit nasty, probably gossip a little bit too much. probably a little bit negative. Okay, those kind of things we can improve, but we don't have to become somebody else in order to be used by God. There is too much comparison in the world. Too many of us looking at somebody else, thinking we've got to be like them in order to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. The closer we can become who we're called to be, the more effective our ministry will be. I've tried for so many years to become like somebody else. I remember the first sermon I ever preached. I was thinking, right, Jensen Franklin, John Cameron, Paul DeYoung, Brian Houston, my favorite preachers, all right. And so I tried to preach like them and even tried the gravelly voice of, you know, Brian Houston and, you know, fish are my friends, you know. And it was a train wreck. Somebody got saved that day. I don't know what sermon they were listening to, but someone responded to the message. But here I was trying to be someone I wasn't. And it all felt wrong. Come on, it doesn't feel right when you're trying to be like someone else. Even 6 years ago when we moved up to Whangarei, we had to take over from Stephen Bex Green. Now, if you've ever heard them or you've seen them or you've been a part of their ministry, they just carry such an incredible gift. God has anointed them, equipped them for such an incredible leadership role. And we knew God was telling us that we had to go and serve them, that one day they would be the senior pastors of the church. So we knew. But it didn't mean that my insecurity didn't rise up, arriving there and going, well, they've had Stephen Bex every week for 4 years, and now Mike's got to turn up and preach. And I arrived thinking that I had to become something bigger and better. And I remember getting up there going, right, I'm going to lead with strength. I'm going to have confidence. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to have to lift my game a little bit, preach a bit bigger, and grow a few extra inches. And you know what happened? A week before we left, I ruptured my Achilles tendon, like full rupture. You could feel a gap between the tendon and the muscle. It was gone. Boom. 13 weeks in a moon boot. Amy was 7.5 months pregnant, depressed, through insomnia. She didn't want to meet a single person who was new. We arrived as this broken, battered couple, ready to lead with strength and confidence. It was like, I had nothing. And I sat on a bar stool and preached for about 7 weeks with this peg leg pastor, you know, with his moon boot on. And it was like God, it was almost laughable how God says, I'm going to sit you down so you understand that you've just got to be who I've called you to be. That's it. And I preached about seasons, and I just preached these messages that were about, come on, let's just be who we've been called to be. You know, I wrote these books, these little leaders books, Loving the Skin. You and I wrote this 10 years ago, but I didn't publish it because we failed in our first attempt. I wrote another book, and it was a good book. Rose Princess and the Special Gift, a really important book in our ministry, which is another sermon altogether. But we went with a publisher overseas and the promised the world and delivered nothing, but took all of our money for it. So we lost a lot of money on the first book. And so I thought, well, you know, I can tick that off the bucket list. I've written the book. I've done that. You know, so it's cool. Yeah, job done. But I remember standing at a conference in worship. And I remember God saying to me, and it was just this gentle whisper. It was, what will you do with that gift I gave you? What will you do with that gift? Will you be the will you be the servant who buried the gift? I mean, I'd thought about this book, honestly, every week for 10 years. Thought I must do something. Too hard, too expensive. And it was like God was saying, are you going to be the servant that buried the talent? Or are you going to take this talent and do something with it? What is in your hand, Mike? Are you going to do something with it? And I remember that day. I just surrendered to God and worship. I said, okay, God, whatever it takes. I called my illustrator that afternoon. And said, right, we're going to start this project. Let's meet up. Let's see what we can do. We put our house on the market. We sold our house, downsized our mortgage, took out a mortgage of $50,000 to, you know, pay for the illustrations and pay for the printing and get the process started. And I'll tell you what, it's the best decision we made. And out of it has come now, Loving the Skin You're In, Do What You're Born to Do. So this is actually book two, is all about identity. Teaching kids that they need to know who they are, that they can love who they are, but also love the skin that their friends are in as well. Do What You're Born to Do is all about purpose, about discovering your gift. You know, we We've given away 2,000 books already to schools in Whangarei. I'll tell you what, that was one of my best days of my life. Going in, and that's the whole school right there, from 5-year-olds right through to 12-year-olds. And I asked them, what's your dream? How are you going to change the world? We've got pediatricians in there. We've got somebody that wants to work with animals. Somebody else that wants to be a doctor. Somebody else wants to be an All Black. It's like 20 years on. Teaching them that they can love the skin you're in. And if identity is not a conversation that's important right now, I don't know what is. Our children trying to work out who they are with all this mixed messages in schools. And Bible in schools is getting taken out of it. But I can walk in there and offer free books, and there's no teacher turning that down. It is amazing going in there and being able to tell kids that they are exactly who they are. Getting them to point their thumbs at themselves and say, I love the skin I'm in. Pointing at their friends saying, I love the skin you're in. Pointing at the teachers and saying, I love the skin you're in. Identity and purpose. But I've also, this is kind of like the teaser, because what's coming next is the choice is up to you. This is going to print right now. This is the salvation message. This is creation, sin, salvation. At the back of the book is a whole salvation story and a prayer that children can pray. My goal with this book, you give me $20, I'll give you 5 books. One for you, 4 to give away. You know, we're trying to get the cost down as much as we can. Our dream is in every home in New Zealand, this message would be given. And then the 4th book is all about we can change the world. So there's the things that happen with us as individuals, but then when we get it right, we can change the world. This is Growth Track for Kids. So we're creating this at the moment for kids, Growth Track for Kids. If we can surrender our identity and purpose into God's hands, if we're prepared to live our lives for Jesus so that Jesus becomes famous, there's no limit to what God can do in and through you. You know, John 6, and if the team can come now, a crowd of people gathered to hear Jesus preach, and he preached considerably longer than I'm going to preach today. Everyone was getting hungry, starting to wonder whether he would wrap it up. Jesus asked the disciples, where can we get enough bread to feed them? The disciples quickly calculated that it would take a half a year's wage just to feed everybody. Now, that's a decent crowd right there, right? They said, all we have is a little boy's lunch. Just a small lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a pretty big lunch, I reckon. I don't think my kid's going to eat 5 loaves, but anyway, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Most of us would have dismissed and said, it's just not going to be enough. Let the boy keep his lunch. I'm always fascinated when I read these stories, because I reckon there were some more lunches out there, seriously. You're telling me there's a crowd of 5,000 people and no one else bought food? Everybody else was stuffing their food in their tunic, saying, no, I'm not giving you my food. You didn't bring your own food? Tough luck, right? But one little boy says, I got something. I got some loaves. I got some fishes. See, until it got into Jesus' hands, it was just a lunch, right? But there was a point where it became miraculous. When Jesus said, can I have your lunch? He says, Jesus, you can have my lunch. Come on, the gift that you carry, the thing that is in your heart to do, have you given that to God? Have you said, God, it's yours. The whole thing is yours. If you do that, guess what? God can do the miraculous. But we must surrender. We must lay it down for God's glory. Jesus said, it's enough if you give it to me. For those of you in business, because you've surrendered your business, your work, your money to God, there is no limit to what God will do through you. I love what Robert Morris says. He says, if God can get it through me, he'll get it to me. Come on, the finance, the resource shouldn't stay within us. It should come in us and through us so that the world will be blessed because of it. Have what you need to serve the needs of your families and create an inheritance for your kids. Absolutely. But come on, it's got to be about building beyond ourselves. Our lives have got to be about building for others. What's in your hand? I want to ask you that question today. What's in your hand? About 12 years ago, God showed me very clearly what was in my hand. I took a youth ministry to a conference. We were in Kāmua, up in Whangarei. 1,000 young people. I had about 10 from our youth ministry there. and the pastors were prophesying over all the youth pastors, and you know, you're going to do this, and you're going to change the world, and you're going to do all of these things. And I'm there as a 22-year-old youth pastor going, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want a word. Somebody give me a prophecy. Totally selfish, egocentric. It was not about anyone else. It was about me. I wanted to be identified. I wanted people to notice me. And I felt like God saying to me, Mike, it's not about you. It's about those you lead. It was just like one of those gentle rebukes from God. Sometimes you get that, sometimes you need that. Within a minute of them prophesying over all these youth pastors, they pulled up some kids from the crowd. Four kids were brought to the top of the stage. And of those four, three of them were from my youth ministry of 10. Now my maths was never good, but out of 1,000 people, I think the odds of that were pretty low. I think God was about to teach me a lesson. And each of these kids received these prophecies. One's a youth pastor today, one's a doctor, another one is in the police. And I just felt like God gave me my purpose right then and there, to get people on my shoulders. What you have, you've got to pass on. You know, what is it that's in your hand today that God wants to do something with? Just wonder whether you close your eyes just for a moment. I want to do two things as I close. First thing I want to do is I want to pray for those that you feel like God is speaking to you specifically about that thing in your hand, and you haven't done anything with it, and you're really feeling that challenge that God is saying, I want you to lay it down, and I want you then to pick it up for my glory. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now, that you'd have the courage to do what God's asking you to do, to first lay it down, but then also to pick it up when the time is right. So everyone else this morning saying, yeah, I know. And you know what? There might have been mistakes and failures. There might have been things that have happened in our past. And so we've given it away, but actually God is saying again today, it's time to lay it down so that you can use it again. Would you just stretch out your hands to God if that's you? Would you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning? See, there's a grace, there's an ease in doing it God's way. God, we pray, Lord, for every person here today, recognizing the gift and the calling on their life. Father, as they lay it down for your glory, for your purpose, God, I pray you would empower them, you would strengthen them. For those online, Lord, right now, sitting in their lounges in their living rooms, as they are considering that question too, what is my dream? What do I hold in my hands? God, I pray right now that you would speak to them about their next step. A simplicity of obedience. God is going to speak to you right now about your next step. Would you do that in obedience and then wait for the next, and then wait for the next, and then begin to step with a boldness and a confidence. Some of you are going to have to get over your past. Lay that down. Lay your past down and say, God, I give you that. I surrender that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But I'm now walking into a future of obedience and walking with you. Anoint them, we pray. Encourage them. Strengthen them. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may take a seat. I just want to speak to one more group of people. You know, Luke 21, Jesus was in the temple. He watched the rich people dropping their gifts into the collection box. There's a poor widow. She comes and she drops in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of the surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. You know, some of us are here today saying, well, I've never given my life to God. I've never given him full access to my life. I've never been able to lay it down because there's no one I've been able to give it to. I really believe today, there are people here that God's saying, you don't think you've got much, but that's okay. We don't need a lot. What we need is that obedience, like this woman that would say, God, this is all I've got, but this is what I want to give you. There's something this woman had, this humility that says, God, all of this is yours. You know, I talk about the gift that we've got to surrender, but the very first thing we have to surrender is our life to God. And maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to God. Maybe you've been living life for yourself. for your purposes, not for God's purposes. And today, I want to encourage you here in this room and we're online, that you would respond and say to God, God, I surrender my life to you. See, we live in a world that is messed up by sin. Sin is what separates us from God's love. God still loves us, but he is a holy God. So something had to be done with the sin that came through the choices of Adam and Eve. That's why Jesus came. As we remember the soldiers today that gave their lives, Jesus gave so much more. He took the weight of sin, of all of humanity on his shoulders, so that we could have life, eternity, relationship with God. And I want to offer, as Jesus offers to all, an option, an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. To confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you call upon the name of Jesus today, you will be saved. So again, would you mind just bowing your heads just for one moment as I bring this to a close? If that's you, would you pray a simple prayer with me, asking God to forgive your sins, accepting him into your life as your Savior, as your Lord, and begin a journey of walking with him today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven. I turn to you today. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen.